in Mark chapter 15. This is at the trial of Jesus. It says in verse 6, "Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked." And when scripture says he, they're talking about a man known as Pontius Pilate. Pilate, who was a Roman governor, a judge in this particular region. And verse 7, "And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and they began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?' For Pilate perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests, they stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, 'What shall I do with the man that you call the king of the Jews?' And they cried out again, 'Crucify him.' And Pilate said to them, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they shouted all the more, 'Crucify him.' So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus," meaning having beaten Jesus, "he delivered him to be crucified." Message I just want to leave with you this evening: rebellion or redemption? It's one or the other. It's one or the other here in Scripture. 2,000 some years ago, and still today, it's either rebellion or redemption. Here we have in Scripture the worst unjust trial ever recorded, and yet also the most important trial that has ever happened on this earth. It's this trial with Jesus Christ. And Pilate, this governor, this judge, at this time there would be a feast, a celebration, a ceremony that they were accustomed to having, that in this time the Jewish people would request that there would be someone released from prison. And the crowd wanted Pilate to make sure that you continue the tradition. Wasn't quite sure really why or what they would get out of a release of one prisoner. Maybe there was a sense of feeling like the Romans would actually be kind or gracious. It was maybe a symbol of hope for them in this time. Or just maybe this moment where we get what we want in this time of the feast. So they pressed Pilate, "Release somebody for us." And Pilate, having fully grasped and understood the situation, would ask them the question, "Well, would you like Jesus, King of the Jews?" And he said this knowing that the chief priests of the Jews were jealous of what Jesus had been doing in ministry for 3 years. Religious leaders, those who were supposed to uphold God's love and his law, were jealous of Jesus because of the good things that he did: raising up the dead, opening up blind eyes, healing the sick, setting people free from bondage. He went around doing nothing but good things to this very crowd that he was facing. He did nothing but tell them about how much God loves you. My Father loves you. To this very crowd, he had did nothing but do good. But he was a threat to the position of those that were in charge of the church. And what we see from these religious leaders is a jealousy, is an envy. And so the chief priests stir up the crowd. They stir the crowd up to ask for a man named Barabbas. And so they bring out Barabbas. Scripture tells us that he was chained with another group of rebels. Barabbas, known as a murderer, known as a rebel, known as a man who stirred up an insurrection. And as soon as he would be released, this man was most likely to continue to do what he does, which is remain in rebellion, which was to be a murderer, which was to fight for himself in the way justice should look for him. And so here is Jesus, who represents redemption. Rescue from sin is what that word redemption means, simply. To be rescued from sin, repurchased, bought out from our mess, our sin. This was the purpose of Jesus Christ, that you and I would be redeemed, that we would be saved. And so Jesus on one side represents redemption, represents the opportunity for this crowd, for you and I today, to be saved, to be restored back unto the Father. That was the plan. And on this side was rebellion. It was man's effort to fight the way they want to fight. And if you picture this with me, you have two things here. Redemption on this side, rebellion on this side. Rebellion, murder, anger, bitterness. And with Jesus, life giver, love, kindness, grace. And everything is set. The stage is set in this moment. There's this full crowd standing there. And Pilate, facilitating this unbelievable trial. Well, he looks and goes, then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews? What shall I do with them? As if Pilate really has the power in that moment. As if he really is in position to change the plan of God. No. And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why, what evil has he done? What has he done? Because those that would be crucified would be those that were slaves or thieves, robbers. So tell me what evil Jesus has done to you, O crowd. What evil has he done to you, people, that you would reject him right now? What evil has he done to you that you would decide, I don't want nothing to do with him? What evil has he done? And the response from the chief priests and the crowd was, crucify him. They cried even louder. Why? They couldn't answer the question. Jesus had done no evil. Nothing. He did nothing but good. He lived his entire life on the earth doing good. There was no sin in him. None. He's the only model we have that ever walked the face of the earth that lived a perfect life. That's amazing. You know how you run into people? They got a lot of money. They got cars. You hear people say it from time to time loosely. Man, I got the perfect life. No, you don't. The Bible says that we have all sinned And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Which means we have all started on this left side in rebellion. But here comes redemption. But what do you say? Who do you want this release? Who do you want me to set free? Crucify him. Barabbas, is that what you want? And your anger and your rage as they cry out. It is interesting to actually observe that the only thing that they want is what reflects them. And still today, those that don't understand what this redemption is all about, the only thing we crave is more mess outside of Jesus Christ. So often people that are in bondage, struggling, going through stuff, they just keep going back to the same mess. But I'm here tonight to just simply describe to you that it's time that this crowd would make a right decision. You've got Barabbas. And interesting enough, his name means son of the father. Son of the father. Son of the father. Son of the father that has been a lineage of rebellion. Man in their sin. The only begotten son of the heavenly father. Holy and righteous. Son of the Father, nothing to boast about. Maybe like some of you here who you can't brag about your father because you don't know him. Or maybe all he's done is beat you. And it is nothing but a picture of anger and hurt and rebellion and pain. But the only begotten Son of the Father, restoration, healing, love, grace, and kindness. So which one do you choose? And the crowd would yell, free Barabbas, free rebellion, free murder, free anger, free bitterness and rage. And there is this picture of absolute darkness. What is there to offer unto you? This son of the father. Redemption. Set free from bondage. Insurrection. Which means a violent reaction to everything that you don't like. Resurrection life, right here. And today, which one is it? Is it the insurrection? Is it handling matters in your own way? Or is it resurrection life that comes through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who went to a cross and he died? That was the plan. That was the plan from the beginning. You know, in this moment, I recognize something that you have Pontius Pilate, you have the chief priest, you have the crowd, and everybody is going after what they want. That in this trial, it is an absolute picture of selfishness and greed. That as the chief priest would say, no, crowd, I'm telling you, this is the one. Here they are, not trying to uphold any sacred religion, but just trying to hold on to a selfish agenda to continue to hold their position of law. Here's Pilate, who decides to give them Barabbas, not because he knew what was the right thing to do. He knew that Jesus was innocent, but he would choose to give them Barabbas because at the end of it all, he just wanted to please the crowd. And today, there's still people that will make decisions based off what the crowd says. Because all you want to do is continue to progress in your position. So you'll take what you'll do and you'll say and you'll act out whatever you need to do in order for people to like you. Not knowing that your selfishness and your greed and your desire for position and status outside of Jesus Christ will only lead to death. Here's a crowd that they don't even really know what they want. They were expecting to have Jesus Christ change the situation right then and there and intervene with the government. That wasn't Christ's agenda. So Jesus stays quiet. You picture this with me. He just stays quiet. He's the only one here in this scene that is not thinking about himself. Everyone else is reacting selfishly, what they want. But the only person that's thinking about others is Jesus. In this scene, you've got Jesus Christ, who just absolutely loves everyone that's there. An unconditional love. He's just quiet as the crowd is yelling and screaming, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And the chief priests are stirring up everybody. Ah, tell him, Barabbas, Barabbas. And Barabbas is probably feeling good, like, yeah, I'm going to step out and see. The chief priests finally do get it. Pilate does respect that what I'm trying to do. My murder is justified. My anger is justified. My bitter is justified. The crowd loves me. People love me. I'm going to continue on with what we do. But redemption holds quiet. And as everybody builds up this swelling of rejection, as in this moment, Jesus is rejected. And our act of rebellion and rejection unto Jesus Christ leads to our salvation. I mean, that's amazing to me. That the moment that he's rejected right there in this trial is for the furtherance that that same crowd would have the opportunity to be saved and redeemed. You get what I'm saying? That in this moment, Jesus would remain quiet because it's all a part of the plan that our rebellion would be overpowered by God's redemption. And that the rebellion in this moment, the yelling, the screaming, the crucify him, all of that was all in the perfect plan of God. That he would make a way that those in their rebellion would be redeemed through Jesus Christ. So go ahead and get louder. Go ahead and scream on. Go ahead and yell. Go ahead, chief priests. Go ahead, Pilate. Go ahead, crowd, all in your selfishness, because it's setting the stage for salvation today. And Jesus goes to the cross. I mean, I can imagine God's heart broken to see people reject kindness for rebellion, hatred and murder for life. But he loved us so much that he gladly allowed his son to go to a cross and die for us, nailed on this old rugged cross, not carved out real nice, but rugged. He was beaten, crown of thorns on his head, nailed to this cross for our sins. It makes sense now why he would yell out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you think about the crowds that yelled out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. It makes sense. And our sin debt was paid on that cross. Redemption because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. All of my sins, that which has separated me from God, my rebellion on this side, I'm now redeemed because of what Jesus did. And here's what's so awesome. On the third day, after being laid in the tomb for 3 days, his body, Jesus rose again. He rose again. He came back to life, and he's alive today. And he comes back to life on that third day. He resurrected from the grave. And you and I, who would receive Jesus as our Savior, as our Redeemer, who through his death on the cross restores us back unto the Father. That is our salvation. That is our resurrection life. The old man, the dead man in our sin, is now released from our very own prison, that we would now celebrate with God for all eternity. Here is the amazing understanding of what I get from this, that as we would say, release unto us what we want for our own feast and our own celebration, there was a greater celebration that was being mapped out for you and I that would yell unto Jesus Christ, crucify him. That because of the perfect will and the plan of God to redeem us, there would be an eternal celebration that is to one day happen in heaven. You might not understand it all because most of us, we're still thinking about what we got to do and how early we got to get up Monday morning. But I'm telling you something. For those who would be redeemed through Jesus Christ on this side, we are going to celebrate with our King forever and ever and ever. And so God in his love and his grace, while he looks upon the rebellion, and as he looks at the rebels saying, oh, release somebody. So in this time of the feast, because you always release somebody, God allows this moment so that you and I would have the opportunity to be released from our own bondage of sin so that we could sit at God's banquet table for the rest of our lives. That's an amazing love. That doesn't make any sense in the natural to me. That God would watch his son, who represents redemption, be put before this absolute unjust trial as they desired that one prisoner would be released at this feast. And yet the final plan would be that we would feast with God forever. And that the ultimate plan would be that you and I would be released from our prison of sin. See, they had it all wrong. And maybe some of us today, we have it wrong. Maybe some of us are still waiting for some simple release to give me a sign that my life is going to be good. God, give me a sign. Come on, release something for me. Hey, come on, give me a sign. Release something for me. Maybe some of us are like this crowd. Like, come on, give me a little sign that I'm doing all right. Well, here's the sign. This is the sign. Jesus Christ. At the cross. God's like, you don't need a sign. You just need my son, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You need my son, Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's going to release you from your prison. Prison of despair. Prison of anger and bitterness. Your prison of unforgiveness. Your prison of loneliness. No, you're at the wrong feast. The greatest feast is those who would come to God's table. And tonight, I want to encourage you to come to Jesus Christ. If you really want to be released from your prison, you need a Savior. And it's Jesus Christ. Could you stand up? Listen to me. I'm going to ask you to come down here and pray with me. I'm going to ask you right now. And some of you might be looking to your left and right. Oh, here we go. That's right. Here we go. It needs to be a now decision. Because the question is still being asked. Who do you want? Do you want to remain in this rebellion? Or do you want redemption tonight? And some of you know that you're still in rebellion tonight. Yes, you are. But praise God, I just finished telling you about this amazing love, that the whole plan was that you would be redeemed despite the rebellion. And I want to pray with you. I want to see you come down, whether you've been coming quite often, whether you're just visiting. But would you be desperate to be free from your prison? You know what your prison looks like. I'm tired of being in prison. I finally was like, I'm done. Jesus, set me free. Set me free. I was I was like that pilot, always trying to please, move up the ranks. Man, if I could just please the crowd, man, I'll go viral. If I could just say the right thing. Believers, if you brought somebody, you just grabbed them by the hand and said, come down, we're going to pray. Friends, if you're not quite sure, then say to your friend, come with me right now. And you come down. Start making your way down right now. I'm going to step back, and don't you dare hesitate to not react to that feeling that God is doing right now in your heart, and you come down here now while we sing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you're watching online, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you're still in the main sanctuary somewhere, still in the balcony, and you're like, I didn't want to come down, but this is dealing with my heart, this message, you pray this prayer with me. You open up your mouth and you pray this prayer with me in faith. I believe there's more people in here that are still dealing in this prison of rebellion. And God wants to set you free. Set you free so that you can be happy, so that you can have joy. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you this evening in need of you to be my Savior. I confess I've sinned. I've lived my life in sin, in rebellion towards you. But now I know, Jesus, you went to the cross for my sins. You took my place, and you rose again on the third day. Thank you for dying for me. I believe right now that I'm a new person. Because I've been washed by the blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus, I receive you as my Redeemer. Thank you for rescuing me from my sin. Tonight, I'm a new person, saved and set free forever and ever. Amen. Praise God.